You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Thursday, July 10th. Oregon State Senator and Tillamook Republican Suzanne Weber has endorsed Clatsop County Commissioner Courtney Bangs to take her seat. Bangs is currently the vice chair of the Clatsop County Commission and has had a 25-year career in education, now teaching at a private performing arts school in Warrenton. She launched her campaign and announced Weber's endorsement for the May 2026 Republican primary alongside the senator last Friday at a 4th of July parade in Warrenton. Weber is one of 10 state Senate Republicans who participated in a six-week walkout of the 2023 legislative session, the longest walkout in state history. That group, including Weber, were then barred from running for re-election. If Bangs is successful in earning the Republican nomination for Senate District 16, she will run for the seat in the November 2026 election. No other Republican or Democrat has publicly entered the district primary races. Like Weber, Bangs has been a vocal opponent to the Habitat Conservation Plan passed in 2024 by the Oregon Board of Forestry. The plan would reduce logging in state forests, primarily in Clatsop and Tillamook counties, in order to protect threatened and endangered species. Bangs has also been outspoken about her distrust of the Oregon Board of Forestry. Weber said that several other potential Republican candidates reached out to her for an endorsement, but that she felt Bangs was the best possible person to run. If elected, Bangs says she hopes to maintain a strong focus on K-12 education and childcare in the state legislature. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. Cherry harvest season is well underway in Oregon and Washington, but as Alejandro Figueroa reports, some migrant workers are not showing up.
Workers are now busy playing catch-up, climbing up 12-foot ladders and picking cherries. But a few weeks ago, there weren't that many people here. Ian Chandler runs a cherry orchard in Wasco County. Usually, he starts the harvest season with about 100 workers, but this year, less than half showed up. Chandler says many people come from California, but were afraid of getting pulled over or detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
What's going on right now is that there's just a sense of fear and dread amongst our immigrant workforce that, you know, someone's coming for them. And that fear is causing people not to move and to hunker down.
Some workers told this reporter they're taking the risk anyway. They need to pay rent and buy food. On top of that, there's a lot more cherry crop this year. Farmers are still catching up, and fruit could be left rotting on the field. Alejandro Figueroa, OPB.
In Washington, about a million residents use the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, to purchase groceries. But last week, Congress voted to change how the food assistance program is managed, putting thousands across the state at risk of losing their SNAP benefits. That could mean more people are going to turn to local food banks for support. KNKX's Mitch Borden reports.
Food banks in Washington are bracing for more people to need their help as SNAP benefits are reduced. In the Tacoma area, Nourish Pierce County operates 22 food banks. Ken Gibson is its deputy director. He says it's already been hard to keep up with the number of people coming to them for help. And with these changes to SNAP, Nourish Pierce County could have to consider changing how it gives out food.
Altering our service hours, our service days, potentially change our service sites and locations. Maybe if we have less food, that might mean that we would need to consolidate.
In a press release sent out last week, Washington Governor Bob Ferguson said changes being made to SNAP could put more than 130,000 people across the state in jeopardy of losing food assistance. I'm Mitch Borden reporting.
If you go to prison in Oregon as a juvenile, your record is typically wiped clean when you leave. But if you have tattoos, like gang symbols or something else inappropriate, that record could still follow you. Jefferson Public Radio's Roman Battaglia reports on a program that's trying to give kids a fresh start.
Landon is incarcerated at the Rogue Valley Youth Correctional Facility in Grants Pass. He's been here for almost 2 years now, serving a sentence for manslaughter and robbery.
It's not really a day that goes by that's, you know, I don't think about it. Definitely was not a good decision, and affected a lot of people.
We're using Landon's first name to protect his privacy. He's hoping to become a barber when he leaves, even training at a small hair salon on campus. But there's one thing he's worried about, his tattoos.
Well, I had, at one point, a cross on my middle finger, but that was when I was like 15, and I ended up covering it up.
Landon's left hand is covered in crude little doodles, like a little mushroom or his ex's initials. One tattoo is particularly notable, a Playboy bunny, and next to it, the name of an adult film star.
I low-key personally was embarrassed of having that tattoo.
Not only is it immature, but the Playboy bunny also happens to be a gang symbol, forcing Landon to explain himself when he got locked up. Landon hopes to get out by this time next year. While he should be set up for success when he leaves, the tattoos on his hand will follow him and could make it hard to re-enter society. But that's all changing for him now. Landon is sitting in a small room with Dr. Carolyn Hale, who's holding the tip for a laser tattoo remover machine. He's here for his 10th and hopefully one of his last sessions.
We've been trying to get this one removed for a little bit.
They have to turn the power up higher and higher as the tattoos fade away.
It's kind of like scarred into the skin, so it's like we kind of have to go pretty high for it.
The laser is tuned to match the same wavelength as the tattoo color, breaking up the ink into small particles to make it easier for the body to remove them. Landon says it doesn't hurt as much as you think it might.
Actually, in the moment of getting it removed, it hurts less than the tattoo needles itself.
This tattoo removal program was started in part by Griselda Solano Salinas, the director of the Office of Inclusion and Intercultural Relations at the Oregon Youth Authority. It started in the late 90s as a way to help combat gang violence. She says a lot of kids are getting these tattoos when they're very young.
I have one who started applying tattoos when he was 9.
The program started with one laser and focused primarily on removing gang-related tattoos. That mission soon expanded, though.
We noticed that there were new tattoos that were not necessarily gang-related, but they were also impacting the youth.
She says they started removing what they call antisocial tattoos, as well as markings used on victims of human trafficking. The waitlist for the program quickly started to grow, and now they've treated thousands of kids, all for free. The program serves around 60 incarcerated youth a month. They aren't forced into removing the tattoos. It has to be an intentional decision when they're ready to change their lifestyle. Landon says it was an easy choice for him. He instantly regretted some of his tattoos.
Since I've been locked up, I've just kind of wanted a fresh start and walking around with a bunch of really dumb tattoos. It doesn't look great. And when I get out, I want to have a job that I can sustain.
Dr. Carolyn Hale has been volunteering with the program almost since the beginning. Now a retired dermatologist, Hale says she wants to give these kids the best chance they can have.
Having raised children, I understand how they make some really bad mistakes and their decisions aren't always really good. And it seems tough to have those live with you forever.
The Oregon Youth Authority recently purchased 2 more laser removal machines, one at Oak Creek, the only female facility, and another for Grants Pass. Hale says one frustrating part is that they don't track how successful the removal program is at changing kids' lives after they leave.
We can't test recidivism because we can't follow what happens to kids afterwards.
Typically, OIA doesn't stay in touch after release, and they only track recidivism rates for 3 years. But a representative for OIA says they're working on building the capacity to track recidivism based on specific variables like the tattoo removal program. Solano Salina says the stories she hears when people do get in touch are what drives her to keep doing this.
You know, I have heard stories from them saying, thank you for removing my tattoos. Now I am a veterinarian assistant, or I have a job, or I have a family, and I won't have to explain to my kids that I was not a good person.
Going through this whole process hasn't made Landon a tattoo hater. He says when he gets out, he'll probably get some new tattoos, just better looking and more professional. I'm Roman Battaglia in Grants Pass.
The Oregon Tourism Commission is awarding over $6 million worth of competitive grants to projects across the state, including several on the North Coast. The funding comes from Oregon's lodging tax, and for the last few years, the Tourism Commission's focus has been on projects that prioritize inclusion. This year's grant recipients on the North Oregon coast include David's Chair Outdoor Mobility Systems, Friends of Haystack Rock, and the Oregon Coast Visitors Association. David's Chair is a nonprofit that provides all-terrain track chairs to help people with mobility impairments access the beach. The award will help expand the nonprofit's services in Seaside, Rockaway Beach, Pacific City, and Coos Bay. The group Friends of Haystack Rock says it will use the funding for training and to develop a series of videos about Haystack Rock with an American Sign Language interpreter and closed captioning for people whose first language is not English. And the Oregon Coast Visitors Association says it will use its grant money to support a marketing campaign for its new North Coast Express pilot, which is offering a shuttle between Portland and the North Coast on weekends throughout the summer. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, @kmun.org.